If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me today to the book of Leviticus. One of the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. It is also called the book of the law. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 29. We have two new children with us today, and I understand Tammy Cable's grandbaby's here, and I'm going to say baby because I'm not sure if it's boy or girl. It's a little girl. Would you stand up and let everybody look and see this new child? Amen.
Glory.
Yeah. And, of course, the other side, just on the other side, we have another new baby, and I know none of those grandparents or great-grandparents are a bit excited, but if one of y'all would stand up with that baby back there from the Click family. Oh, yeah. Patriarch of the family grabbed a baby. Glory. Amen. It's so good to have them in the house of the Lord today. Amen. We believe God for the touch. Amen. There will be no service here tonight. It is always called off on Easter to give you time to be with your families. So there will be no service tonight at 6 o'clock. But there will be prayer meeting tomorrow night, so please come be with us if you can. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that on the seventh month and the tenth day of the month you shall afflict your soul and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger and a sojourn among you. For that on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye be clean from all sin before the Lord. And it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you. And ye shall afflict your soul by the statute forever. And the priest whom shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen cloths and the holy garments. And he shall make the atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Move on us with your love, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand. Say, we're going to hear about the Day of Atonement. In discussing the Bible feast, the book of Colossians, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of the holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are all shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. In other words, Paul said, every one of our feasts are a shadow of things that are to come, but they are all there to let us understand about the body of Christ. Amen. I spoke with you a couple of weeks ago on the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The three feasts of the spring represent the salvation experience we have in Christ through the Passover, the sanctification of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the second, or the resurrection of Christ in the Feast of First Fruits. The one summer feast actually happens in May. We call it Pentecost. It was called Shavuot, and that was the day the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church to empower the church. There are three feasts in the fall. Amen. And those three feasts refer to the coming of the Lord. But according to Paul, all these are just foreshadows of what is going to happen in the future. I want to talk to you today for just a few moments about a subject that we would talk about. It's called Yom Kippur on the Jewish calendar, but it's also the Day of Atonement. Amen. That day, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is the most solemn and important holy day of the Jewish calendar. The Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, was the day of the high priest made an atoning sacrifice for the sin of the people. This act of atonement wrought reconciliation between the people of God and the God that they served. After the blood sacrifice was offered for the Lord, a goat was released into the wilderness to symbolize the carrying away of sin of the people. Amen. Yom Kippur is to happen on the 10th day of the 7th month. Amen. Yom Kippur was the only time during the year when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies, the uttermost holy chamber of God. It was at that time that he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat and pray for the deliverance of the children of Israel. Jewish tradition tells how God opens the book of life, studies the word, actions, and thoughts of every person whose name is written in that book. If that person's good deeds outweigh the outnumber their sinful acts, he or her name will remain in that book if they are washed in the blood of Calvary. Could you say amen? Amen. Repentance. This is important. Rosh Hashanah, which takes place for 10 days prior to Yom Kippur, is the time the people repent. They turn away from their sins. They get them out of their lives. And let me tell you something, folks. Repentance isn't saying I'm sorry and go back and do it again. Repentance is to turn away from. I took this out of Jewish tradition. The Talmud states Yom Kippur atones for those who repent, but it does not atone for those who do not repent. Repentance in Judaism is done through a process called teshuvah, which is the most basic form of consists of regretting having committed sin, resolving not to commit that sin in the future, and then confessing that sin to God. Confession in Judaism is called vadu. There is also a commandment to repent in Yom Kippur. According to Yom Kippur, the unique is a confessional, and it is part of the prayer service. What it says is, if you're going to repent, you first got to say, okay, I've done wrong. Then you got to make up your mind, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then you confess it to God, and God forgives. Glory. That's pretty good. Well, preacher, what if I keep messing up? Then you ain't repented. And what did it say in Jewish tradition? If you don't repent, even the Day of Atonement will not cover your sin. In the Old Testament, the word kefar is used for atonement. That word means to cover, to cleanse, to appease, or to pacify. Amen. Isn't it amazing that nobody's ever really found salvation from judgment except through the atonement? You say, wait a minute, preacher. Noah got in a boat. Yeah, and the Bible said he put pitch on the inside and pitch on the outside. And isn't it amazing that the word for pitch translated in the book of Genesis is the word kefar, which means to atone. So he put atonement on the outside of the ark. He put atonement on the inside of the ark. And it kept the water, which was the judgment of God, outside the ark, where the people inside in the atoning power of God was kept safe during the flood. And can I tell you today, because of the blood of Calvary, I have no worry about tomorrow, because I have the atonement of God in my life, and God has washed away my sin, took them away. Could you say amen? Amen. The word of the New Testament translate this, to restore. Amen. What do you mean restore? When I get atonement, it restores my relationship with God that was severed by my sin. Could you say amen? Hebrews 9 and 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That word simply means the deliverance brought to us by his blood through the shedding price. If you saw the sign out front, I like that. Amen. Jesus paid the price, so we get to get the change. Glory. Hello? Amen. Some of y'all missed that. You didn't change. Glory. When Christ comes into your life, it's noticeable. There'll be change. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed by the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. The Bible tells us that God covered our sins through the blood that he shed on Calvary. Amen. And we understand that that provision is applied. We call it the atonement. Amen. Romans 5 said it this way in the 10th verse. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. For not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Well, how do I get that? You know, in the Old Testament, it was a yearly thing. He had to go in every year, and every year he had to start all over again. But you know, in the New Testament, we now have the presence of God that can overcome and doesn't have to be a certain day. But when we sin, he said, if you sin, you got an advocate with the Father. I make an altar, I repent, and my God will take away my sin. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy of the blood of Jesus, for by a new and a living way, which we have consecrated for ourselves, or to us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Amen. Every day I've got a right to come boldly before God. I don't have to wait till once a year. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of the infirmities of his people, but was at all points tempted like as we, but without sin. Glory. Let's look at the person that was going to do the act of the atonement. First of all, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, this is the only time every year that he went into the Holy of Holies. No one else could do it. No one else could take the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest. It started out with Aaron and then moved down to the high priest. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest did all the work. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Probably somewhere around 15 different animals he personally killed for that sacrifice that day and had to handle. But now notice something else. The first thing he did was offer a bullock and a ram for his own cleansing. He came and cleansed himself so that he was worthy to offer the sacrifice for those that were coming. Could you say amen to that, church? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? When Jesus came to this earth, he came without spot, without blemish. He came without sin. And he lived in this world without sin, even though he walked through everything we do. And when time come for the atoning death of Christ, he did so without sin. He was a spotless Lamb of God that was led to slaughter, that we through him might have everlasting life. Could you say amen? Not only did that priest have to get himself cleansed, but he also had to do away with all of his royalty. Normally the high priest walked around in gold, a golden crown, a golden vesture. He had all kind of popular stuff on him, and people saw him. They would call it the royal garment of the high priest. But on the Day of Atonement, according to law, he was required to take all of that gold off, to get rid of all the stuff that was worth something. And he wore a linen mitre. He wore a linen breeches. He had his loins girt about with a linen belt. You say, why is that? Because linen represented the purity of God. But before he could put that on, he had to wash himself no less than 5 times to cleanse himself and to become holy, but also to vesture himself of all the royalty he had. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I see the Son of God. He is equal with God. He's in the eternities with God forever and forever. But I see him leave that place at the right hand of the Father and take on the form of a little child, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. I see him as he divests himself of the royalty of the office of the Son of God, and he becomes a servant, a man. And the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Word dwelt among men. He came down to be one as us, and yet at the same time, one day under the purity of his power, he offered an atoning sacrifice that we through him might live forever and forever and forever and forever. There was no one else could make the sacrifice. He had to do it. During the year, other priests made sacrifices. And you know, we are all supposed to be royal priests. But on the Day of Atonement, only the high priest can pay the price. What are you getting at? Nobody in this world can forgive you your sins. I know we got religion said, you go see this fella, light a couple of candles or put some money in the penance plate, you can get forgiveness. But that man can't forgive you. That man cannot take away your sin. You say, what are you talking about? It is only through the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God, who gave the atoning price for us at a place called Calvary, who came forth from that grave to be the high priest of all high priests, who could sit on the throne of God at the right hand as our intercessor forever and forever and forever. Only he could offer that sacrifice. Could you say amen? on that day, everything done to the lighting of the candles, to the lighting of the fire of the sacrifices was done by the high priest. That way no one could take credit for what happened. On the day Jesus died, none of his disciples died with him. They all forsook him. John went with him, but he never got in the judgment hall. He was never beaten. He was never crucified, because God wanted you to understand that there was only the blood of the spotless Lamb of God that would take away the sin of your life. Every one of those men died some type of horrible death except for John. Isn't it amazing? The one that got the closest to Christ actually lived till he just expired. Glory. I mean, the rest of them got speared, shot with arrows, beheaded, hung upside down on crosses. John lived to 64 AD. He was an old man. They tried to kill him and he wouldn't die, because he was so close to God that God gave him life. Hello? Smile at me, church. See, I had people tell me, say, well, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. Really? How close you want to get to God? There are some things in your life you get rid of, not because they're really that bad, but they are separating you from a close walk with God. And for that reason, you need them out of your life so you can walk in the presence and the power of God Almighty. So that when you turn to pray, you don't have to try to get rid of something to be able to pray. You don't have to try to get acquainted with him every time you go. But you're close enough to God. There were 12 men that went with Jesus. Only three of them got in the inner circle. And only one of them laid his head on his chest. Hello? Well, what happened? What brought all that on? It's simple. Only one of them was so close to God, he could hear his heartbeat. The high priest then would make the sacrifice. He would take the lambs and the bullocks, and he would make the sacrifice for the people. He would enter the Holy of Holies. They would tie a rope around his foot with a bell on it. As long as he was moving, the bell would ring. If for some reason that bell stopped ringing, they'd pull the rope, drag him back out, because to go in the presence of God with sin in his life would bring instant death. Well, what happened if the priest died and he didn't get in there and make the atonement? Then they had to go another year before they could get atonement. They'd have to get another high priest who they could get holy and prayed through so he would be able to take care of the people. Amen. Thank God that Jesus Christ, when he went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat, that high priest would go in, he'd sprinkle that blood, and he would pray for the sins of Israel to be covered. Amen. But I want to tell you, on the day Christ died at the cross, the Bible tells me his last words were, "It is conquered." Glory. Hello? What was conquered? Death was conquered. Hell was conquered. The grave was conquered. And he came down off that cross. For 3 days he went in and out of the earth. Somebody said, no, wait a minute, preacher, can you prove that? He went in and out of the earth. He went into the place called Sheol, and he led captivity captive. Could you say amen to that, church? Say, what are you talking about? That chief priest, that holy of holies walker, walked into the very presence of God, took the blood that came out of his side and sprinkled it on the mercy seat and said, this, my Father, is a sacrifice for the sin of those who believe in me. And I'm believing now you're going to take that sin away. And because sin is gone, death is gone. Because sin is gone, life will be everlasting for those who believe in me. And thank God for the high priest that paid the price to set us free. As soon as that offer, the sacrifice was made and the priest came out, he would take what was left of that blood and they would bring two goats to him. They would cast lots on those goats, and one of them would become the scapegoat. The other would become the sacrifice. They would kill goat number one. They would take the blood from goat number one, and they would offer as a sacrifice for the sin of the people. But that blood was not placed on the mercy seat. It was placed on the other goat. And he would lay that blood on that other goat and his hands on top of that goat's head. And he would confess the sins of Israel that had been committed during that year. And he would believe that those sins were being transferred to that goat. And I know some of you sitting there and said, well, preacher, what's that got to do with the crucifixion? My Bible said that in the book of Corinthians, he who knew no sin was made sin, that I might then become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. But you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Jesus Christ, who had no sin, took my sin to him in that garden. Amen. When he took the cup from God, he drank the sin of everybody that had ever lived from Adam to that time, and for everybody that's going to live from then to eternity. And he took all that sin in his body. He carried it to the cross, and at that cross he crucified sin. Amen. He carried it out to be taken away. Could you say amen to that, church? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? See, when they put that sin on that goat then was carried out into the wilderness, way away from everybody, and released, and it was never allowed to come back into the area. You say, what are you getting at? My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. They're as far removed as darkness is from dawn. Could you say amen? The Bible said, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and became a propitiation for our sins. So through the blood of Christ, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you doing? I run off and left my outline, and I've left the lady in the back. I'm trying to get back to the place where she can catch up. Amen. Romans 10:10. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth he confession is made unto salvation. Jeremiah 50:20, in those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought before, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Glory. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? Notice this. Because God has taken away our sins, they're gone. God's not like some people. You ever ask somebody, I forgive you, and then every time you get around them, they're going to bring something back up they forgave you for. Let me stop right here. This is just a little bit of marriage counseling. If you forgave them, shut up about it. Every time you bring it back up, you just dig another hole and get somebody started over something you supposed to done got over with. If you forgave it, forget it. Adam and Tim said, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Until you forget, you can't forgive. Oh, come on, church. God doesn't come back, and every time you mess up, bring everything back you used to do. If it's under the blood, all I got to worry about is what I done after I got saved. Hello? That's good preaching. Say it's good preaching, but can you give me scripture? John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus come unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Glory. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to them unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He'll have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast their sins in the depth of the sea. Psalms 103:12. For as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Glory. And some of y'all may have heard me preach this before, but I'm going to tell it again for those that hadn't. If you go north to south, you pass the North Pole, you start south. You get to the South Pole, you start north. But if you start out east, you're not going to find a turning point. You just keep going east. If you start out west, there is no turning point. You just keep going west. You just keep circling and circling. So what he said was, my sins are in a place where there's no place for them to turn around, and they're gone, and they're not coming back anymore because they're underneath the blood of Calvary, and God has washed away my sins. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? All the day Jesus came forth from the grave, and he said, I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I shall live forevermore. He became the eternal high priest who has made sacrifice for our sins, and now because of his life we live in him forever and forever and for. I'll make y'all feel bad. If I preach like this in Honduras, they'd be running all over Honduras. Glory. Y'all just got to see them folks. They ain't like us. They're not reserved. They're broke, busted, disgusted, ain't got nothing. Most of them can't put two pennies together and make them pop. But when they get to church, they throw down from the time they get there till they get a chance they got to go home. And some of them shouting, going out the door. Glory. Well, we're Jews. No, you ain't. Ask Alex. They don't go to church for a few hours on Sabbath morning. They show up that night. As soon as that siren sounds, they start throwing down. They in there waiting. When the siren sounds, says Sabbath started, they wide open. They're dancing, they're singing, they're reading parchments. 3 o'clock in the morning, they're still dancing, they're still singing, they're still reading parchments. Next day at noon, they're still doing that. He said, what are you talking about? They got 24 hours and they packed 26 into it. Amen. They go there to have church. They're not worried if they get to the restaurant early. They're not worried if they miss the show on Sunday night. All they want to do is give tribute to a God who has took away their sins and give them life and give them peace and give them... I know I could have left it alone, but I just didn't feel like it. I go to New York to preach, and I go to those Haitian churches. The pastor and I'd leave about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, go get something to eat, and I'd say, what about your people? He said, they'll be here when we get back. They'd still be up there singing, praising, worshiping God. We'd go get something to eat, come back, and they'd still be singing and praising, worshiping God. About 6 o'clock, he'd kick the service in. 8 o'clock, I'd preach. Because they didn't have but one day a week they could go to church. Because most of them lived in the outer parts of New York City. They could only get there one day a week. So when they got there, they hung with it. Come on, church. Well, I'm not Haitian. I know, but I wish we were. Because they loved God so much, it didn't matter. I went to a Jamaican church, and they didn't have to have an interpreter. I asked the pastor, I said, do I need an interpreter? He said, yes, ma'am, we speak English. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Glory. I'm going on, as I know it's getting close to 12, and the eggs are boiling. But because of the atonement, we have access. Because of the atoning death of Christ, my Bible tells me I can boldly come before the throne of God. I don't have to have a high priest go for me anymore. I don't have to pray to somebody and hope they can pray me through. But I've got a right to go into the Holy of Holies and to make requests known unto God through myself, through the atoning death of Christ. Amen. The high priest was a type of Jesus, is also our intercessor. Christ makes intercession for me. Listen, church. I'm not going to beat this to death, but I will preach it because it's the truth. Once we get saved, sin should no longer be a natural part of our life. I have a problem with the eternally saved people because they give them a license to commit sin on a regular basis. I have a problem with that because my Bible said if I'm born to God, I don't want to commit sin. I'm not looking for ways to do it and still claim I'm saved. I'm looking for what I got to do to stay that way. And you say, well, can you give me scripture for that? One, if you sin. Since God created the English language, he would know to put when if we was going to have to do it every day like some people try to tell you. Come on, church. Not yet. Some of y'all are going to amen me this morning. I'm going to amen myself. If you got to sin every day like some preachers want to stand in the pulpit and preach to you, he'd have said, when you sin. He didn't say that. He said, if you sin. Now, either God don't know the English language or he said sin is not going to be a natural occurrence in your life once you get saved. Therefore, when you mess up and if you sin, you got to advocate with the Father. What's he going to do? He's going to make intercession for you. Whew. I don't know why I got quiet when I preached that, but it's true. But notice this, on the close of atonement comes the jubilee. What do you mean jubilee? People are excited, their sins are gone. Any of y'all remember the night you got saved? I didn't even have the Holy Ghost and I was shouting. I didn't know nothing about it. I wasn't raised Pentecostal. I got to shouting because I was free. I mean, maybe y'all didn't have as much to get free from, but I was free. I got so excited I poured a big old bag of pills that I thought I couldn't live without in the creek. And I'd hate to know who caught them fish. They got a hold of them pills, but I bought 4 cartons of cigarettes. I mean, I got me a cigarette, and I got home. I put it in my mouth, and this little boy stamped something and said, "Hey, you don't do that no more." Teenager. I said, "Well, I got saved. I didn't die." He said, "You were supposed to." I got all excited, burnt 4 cartons of cigarettes, and shouted while it was burning. Glory. Found a bottle of alcohol under my seat that if I'd found before I went to church, I might not have went to church. And I threw it and busted it on a rock, and them boys got to shouting, and I got to shouting with them, and I didn't even know what I was shouting about. Glory. And inside me, something was saying, "You'll regret all this tomorrow." I got up the next morning, and all I could think about was, "Oh, man, what am I going to do? I got to have a drink. I got to have a pill. I got to do something. I'm going crazy." And you know what? 40 years later, I'm still here. And I hadn't had a pill, and I hadn't had to go get another drink. Come on, church. Why? Because I went to the Holy of Holies, and now I've got a jubilee. I've been set free of the bondage that controlled my life. I've been set free of the things that told me when I got up, when I went to bed, what I had to do. And thank God I got a God that said, "When I have set you free, you are free indeed." Could you say amen to that, church? And because of that, I am delivered from the bondage of my stand with me all over the house. See, the life we live when we're away from God takes away everything God ever promised us. But in the atonement, I have a restoration of my heritage. "For I will restore unto you the years the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar." Those things I missed because I was living in sin, God said, "Now that you come back to me, I'll put them back in your life. I'll restore them to you." All we have to do is sell out to him, and everything God's ever promised us is an undeliverable mail package waiting for you. Nobody else got it. Nobody else just took it. It's sitting there waiting for you to walk into the presence of the high priest and let the atoning power of his love take away your sin. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. We ask God you'd reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power of your grace. Minister to us today, God, in Jesus' precious name.